Sebastian, thank you for being in the front row. Everyone say bye, Cass and Junior.
Bye, Cass
and Junior. Say goodnight. Say goodnight, Junior. Good job. Genesis 15, 1 through 6. Genesis 15, 1 through 6. All right. Got my prize bag up here for later. Got a prize bag today. Genesis 15 and then verses 1 through 6. So if you just open to Genesis 15, it'll be the first few words where we're starting. Woo! 15 verses 1 through 6. Yeah, you got it. You got it. Everyone say Caleb got it.
Caleb got it.
Job, Richie. All right. Genesis 15, 1 through 6. We're there? Before we read, let me just kind of recap. So we're doing a series on... Oh. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Oh, man, I was hoping that would be more emphatic. Like, oh, yeah, we've been doing this the past 3 weeks? No. Okay. You weren't here. Okay, thank you, EJ. That's at least you have an excuse, all right? Genesis 15, 1 through 6. We've been looking at different passages that have to do with righteousness, okay? And there's a lot. The Bible has a lot to say on what righteousness is. Remember the first week, we looked at it like probably seven different passages, all to do with righteousness. That is just a little part of what the Bible has to say about righteousness. So today in Genesis 15, we're going to be seeing, especially with one verse, this passage leads up to a verse at the end that talks about righteousness. What is righteousness, okay? One thing we talked about what righteousness is righteousness is being made right with God or being in right standing with God, okay? That's part of what righteousness is. It's being in right standing with God, okay? So what does that mean, right? It means obedience to God. It means following God, listening to what God says is best for us. But righteousness or to be in right standing with God, it's deeper than just following a bunch of rules. It's actually, there's something at the core of righteousness. Following rules or following laws are an outcome or a fruit of what's at the core of righteousness, okay? But the Bible actually talks about righteousness in connection with a very real and personal kind of relationship with God, a following God, a following Jesus, a knowing God, a personal connection, okay? There's this connection between faith in God or trust in God and righteousness, okay? Righteousness doesn't simply come from following rules, but righteousness actually stems from a genuine and real relationship with God, one where we follow him and trust him. So we're going to read about that in Genesis Genesis 15, verses 1 through 6. There's a guy named Abram, okay? If you guys know Abram, his name is later changed to Abraham. Thank you, Caleb. Abraham, perfect. Abraham, so we're reading about Abram or Abraham before God changes his name to Abraham, okay? So let's read these verses. In verses 1 through 6. After these things... Wait, did you want to read, Miles? Yeah, okay, Miles, sure. Let's go ahead.
Which one do I read?
How about you read 1 through 3, and I'll read 3 through 6.
Okay.
All right?
After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Fear not, Abraham. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abraham said, O Lord God, what will you give me?
Childless, yeah.
In the here of my house is the leader of Damascus.
Yes.
And Abram said, you will give me no offspring, and the number of my household will be my heir.
Yeah, my heir, perfect. And behold, the word of the Lord came to Abram. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look toward the heaven. Or look toward heaven and number the stars if you are able to number them. Then God said to Abram, so shall your offspring be. And Abram believed the Lord and he counted it to him as righteousness. Abram believed the Lord and he counted it to him as righteousness. Let me pray and then we'll talk about this passage a little. God, would you speak to us by your word and by your spirit and through your word right now? Would you help us to understand a little bit more about righteousness, about following you, about the it's not just being a thing where we check a to-do list things off our list, like we prayed or we read our Bible, or but it's a very real relationship, and these things stem from following you, from knowing you and you knowing us. So would we follow you, and would it change our lives and impact our lives even today? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so here in this passage, we have Abram, okay? And Abram's talking with God, okay? We're just going to recap the passage for a second. And Abram is concerned, okay, because he doesn't have a son. And in their culture, the son would, like, kind of carry on the legacy, and everything that Abram has would be passed down to this firstborn son. But Abram doesn't have a son, so he has no one of his immediate family to carry on his name down the generations. Okay, so Abram's concerned, and he's getting old. And Abram's like, God, I don't have an heir. An heir is like a firstborn son or someone to inherit all that I have after I pass away. And Abram's like, God, I don't have an heir. The person who's going to inherit my stuff is actually Eliezer of Damascus. Just not an immediate necessarily relative, not a son of Abram's. And so Abram's like, God, I don't have a son. How am I going to have an heir? And then God says, Abram, come outside with me. And God says, look at the stars. Look at the sky, Abram. Number the stars, if you can number them. Have you guys ever tried to count the stars outside?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, can you do it?
No.
It's pretty impossible. It's really hard. Because then you, like, forget which one is where, and then there's, like, more just keep popping up. All right? It's hard because there are so many stars. And God says, look at the stars. Your offspring are going to be as numerous as the stars of the sky. So God makes this promise to Abram, okay? And then in verse 6, it says this, Abram believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. So God makes his promise to Abram, and then Abram believes God's promise, and it was counted to Abram as righteousness. So Abram was counted as righteous because he believed God, all right? So I think here, as well as other places that we'll kind of talk about today, in this passage, we see that there's a connection between believing God's words, believing God's promises, or even bigger, trusting God, having faith in God, and righteousness. Okay, right. Abram believes God. Really what Abram is doing is he's placing his faith in God. He's trusting God, and it's counted to him as righteousness. So we see here there's this connection between faith in God and righteousness, okay? And I think what we see is the root of righteousness. You know, like the roots of plants that you can't really see, but they're like what give the plant life, right? What we see here is the root of righteousness. What is at the core of righteousness actually is faith, is trusting God. Just trusting God and believing God's words. Okay, righteousness doesn't stem from a desire to be a good person. A desire to be a good person is a good thing, okay? But righteousness doesn't, at the core of righteousness, isn't a desire to be a good person. It's not trying really hard, okay? That's not how we become righteous, by trying really hard. It's not just following a list of rules. That's not how we become righteous. Or fill in the blank. But the thing that is at the root of righteousness is that it stems from a genuine and personal faith or trust in God, okay? But, so you might be listening right now, and you might be like, okay, so if righteousness is just all about faith, if it's just all about, like, this abstract thing, like, oh, trusting God, I say I trust God, then it doesn't really matter what I do, right? Because it's just about, like, saying I believe in God. But we're going to do an activity and a kind of a demonstrate, because actually, faith and righteousness, there is a connection, and what we do, this activity will help. Can I have three volunteers?
Me.
I need Dag, come here. Let's see. Oh, Caleb, come on. And
which one?
This Caleb, sorry. Sorry, Caleb. Caleb, fine, we'll have both Calebs. Come here. This is actually perfect. This is perfect. This is perfect. This is perfect. Okay. This is what I'm gonna do. Dag. Sit there for a second. Sit there. Caleb, come here. I'm going to give Caleb. So, Dag, these are your friends. Caleb, and Caleb, stand here. Good. All right. Good. Yeah. Good. I'm going to give both Calebs.
You sure this won't get confusing?
No, this won't. This won't get confusing. I'm going to give both Calebs a. I'm going to give you something that you have to tell Danny to do. Okay. Right. It's going to be something that Danny has to do.
Not save the boy after.
I won't.
One of these things, if Danny does them, if Danny listens to you, if Danny trusts you, and he does them. One of you is going to be the trustworthy one, okay? And if Danny places his faith in you and trusts you and believes what you say and actually does it, you're both going to get a prize, okay? But if you listen to the wrong person, then they're going to get a prize and you guys aren't going to get a prize.
Wait,
I'm a little confused.
So I'm going to talk. So I'm going to give you guys each piece of paper. Mm-hmm. One is going to have one single star on it. One is going to have a star, many stars, and some nose and some smiley faces or something. If you are the one who gets the one star, you are the trustworthy one.
Okay.
Okay? So here. Just don't show these to anyone, okay? Don't show these to anyone. Here's yours. And here's yours. Good. Now look. Can you see it? I'm going to take it back from you. Can you see it?
Yes.
All right. All right. So you guys know who's who. And then I'm going to give each one of these papers. This is what you have to tell Danny to do. All right. Danny, you get to choose which one. Who are you going to place your faith in? All right. And so which action are you going
to
take?
So it's just.
So.
It's just whichever one I choose to do.
Whoever you trust more. And then it's going to impact what you do. Okay. Let's do it. Start convincing him to do your thing.
Okay, so you have to high five everyone in the room, and then when you're done with that, you stay on the stage holding your biggest smile for 5 seconds. That's all you gotta do.
Holding what?
Like.
Is that all you have to do? I thought there was one more thing on there.
Yeah.
All right, hold on.
And then you ask Alex for the prize.
All you gotta do for me, you gotta it's simple. You gotta take your shoes off. You gotta say happy birthday to Alec, wherever he is.
Happy birthday to Alec.
And then trade shoes with someone. And then
trust me, I had the one star. I saw it. God knows. Who do you trust more, an old bum like him or me?
Trustworthy people don't fall out.
I swear. On my mama. I have the one star on my
mama. Listen, he's saying so much stuff. I don't know why he's
going to be. Who do you trust, bro? You got to do that.
So who do you trust? I'm offering my.
Do I say who I trust or do I just do it?
You just got to do whichever one you trust.
Who do you trust?
Can you reread yours?
All right, take off your shoes, sing happy birthday to Alec, and then trade shoes with someone.
Wait, what's your foot size? What's your foot size real quick?
No, trust me, he's the wrong one.
Okay, taking his shoes off.
Trust me, he's the wrong one. He's the wrong one.
You're doing so much convincing.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Alex. Happy birthday to you.
I'm 11, so these are going to fit you. These are
11s,
they'll fit you.
Hey, he's got 11s over here.
I'm 11s, your 10s are going to fit you. He's a baby. Yes, I have big
feet. Wait, what are you?
You get your shoes back.
10, bro.
He's got to wear Danny.
All right, okay, you don't actually got to put them on. Thank you.
Oh. Hey, Jack, 14.
All right, good. Yeah, so Danny, you decided to trust Caleb Lindsley. So much that you actually did what he said. Because you believed him. Okay.
Good boy.
Well, guess what? This Caleb was the one that was actually trustworthy. Sorry, man.
It was more because his request was just easier, so I just kind of
dang. Oh, you just had to hold a smile for me, bro.
That's how it is.
All right. Hey, man, you can pick some guys. Right? Here, got some candy. Yeah, go ahead.
I get one too, right?
Yeah, so you guys can all get one, sure.
What is this?
You know what else is easier?
All right, we got 5 seconds.
You got 10 seconds, though. Thank you. Here, I'm going to
get me one.
All right.
Here, bring pizza.
Pizza?
A whole skin.
Thank you. All right. All right, let me break down what just happened for you guys. Let me run a play-by-play. Hey, Caleb, let me run a play-by-play for what just happened, all right? So what happened was Danny came up here and both Calebs came up here. Danny decided that he trusted Caleb so much that he was actually going to be, that he was going to obey what Caleb told him to do. Okay, Caleb told him to, like, take his shoe off and sing happy birthday and then trade shoes with someone, right? And because Danny put his faith and Caleb, and believed Caleb, and so it actually impacted what Danny decided to do, right? Because Danny trusted Caleb, all right? Just like we were saying, having faith in God doesn't just mean that it's some abstract thing if we just believe that God is real or that God is there. But the way that faith and righteousness actually are connect, the way that they actually relate, is that a genuine, real faith actually impacts how we live. A genuine, real faith actually changes and transforms our lives. It changes how we live, okay? Because who we trust or what we trust actually informs what we do, right? Like Danny trusted Caleb over here, and it actually it changed his decisions. It changed what he did, right? So just like you guys are all sitting in a chair right now, you maybe have heard this before, you trust that chair to keep you up. And so you decided to sit there, right? Or when you trust, there might be a person that you trust. Okay, there might be a person that you trust, and you confide in this person. Who has a friend here that they trust and that you confide in, that you tell things to? Yes, right? Who has a person here that you trust so much that you actually listen to their wisdom and their advice because you trust them, right? Okay. Well, here's the thing. Knowing God and trusting God and putting your faith in God actually impacts how you live, because it actually means listening to what God has to say. All right? We actually live according, when we put our faith in God, we actually live according to what God says is best for us. All right? So Abram is counted righteous because of his faith, right? His trust in God. And Abram's trust in God actually impacted how he lived. If you look at, though you have to turn there now, but there in Hebrews chapter 11, there's this chapter that's commonly known as the Hall of Faith. And it lists all these people. Okay? Have you heard this before, Sean?
Yeah.
The Hall of Faith? And it lists all these people from the scripture, like Noah. Noah put his faith in God, and then what did Noah do because he trusted God? He built an ark. He ended up in the Hall of Faith. But he built an ark. Thank you. Abraham had faith when God called him to leave his home. And so what did Abraham do because he trusted God? He left his home, right? Or Moses. God comes to Moses and says, you have to be the person who I'm going to use to free my people from Pharaoh. Right, Zaire? And so Moses trusted God so much that he actually went to Pharaoh and stood up and went to free God's people. Yes, EJ?
So, like, the closer you walk to God and, like, how much you trust and, like, have faith in God is, like, kind of you get more righteous as you go on.
Well, I guess what we're getting at here is that righteousness, the core of righteousness, is actually knowing God and following God. And so to be more righteous, I guess maybe that's a discussion for another time, or that we can talk about later. But the core of righteousness is following God and knowing God and trusting God, because trusting God really means listening to what God says, right? But then in chapter 11, it names all these other people who have trusted God, who have put their faith in God, and it actually impacts their lives. It actually changes how they live, okay? Even when God calls them into scary, unknown, dangerous territory, these people go because they trust God, and it impacts their lives. So righteousness isn't something that we achieve by being really good people, or the core of righteousness isn't achieved by becoming a really good person, okay? But we are actually counted as righteous when we place genuine, real faith in God, okay? So the root of righteousness isn't just following a bunch of rules, okay? But it actually stems from knowing God and God knowing us. And this is important, okay? This is an important idea. You might be like, why is this actually important? Well, this is important because it actually shows us who God is and what God desires when we actually get to know God. When we actually trust God and we follow him and we get to know him in relationship, we actually get to know who God is then. God doesn't desire for us to just be kind of a bunch of robots or a bunch of clones who just follow, who just kind of go in motions. But God actually desires to have a real living relationship with each of you, a real living relationship where we get to place our trust and know him. And then out of this relationship, out of this trust and faith in God, out of it flows righteousness. Because if we really come to know and to trust God, it will shape how we live. It will. There's not a question. So righteousness stems from faith, okay, from trusting God, from believing God. And we find this, if we look at the life of Jesus, okay, we find this in Jesus' life. You know, we often talk about how Jesus was perfectly obedient to God, which Jesus was perfectly obedient to God. But I think the reason that Jesus was perfectly obedient to God actually stemmed from Jesus perfectly trusting God. Jesus didn't doubt that God would do what he said he would do, that the Father would carry out his promises, right? Even as Jesus is going to the cross, as he's going to go die, Jesus says, "Father, take this cup from me. However, not your will, but my will be done." Jesus trusted God even to death, perfectly trusted God, even to the point of death. So I think Jesus actually demonstrates what righteousness looks like for us by his own perfect trust in God the Father, by his own perfect faith or believing God the Father. So here, let me end with this before we just move to small groups, okay? Righteousness, at the core of righteousness, it's not about just following a bunch of rules, okay? But it's actually about following God in real, genuine trust and relationship. Wherever God leads, okay, wherever God leads, it's about trusting and following him there, even if it's a messy, scary, unknown situation or place, okay? Like Moses as he goes into the wilderness, as he leads the people out into the wilderness, okay? Or like David trusted God when David was going, and there's this big guy named Goliath, okay? And David's so small, but David trusted God, and he went and fought this big warrior named Goliath because he trusted God. It impacted how he lived, right? Or like Noah in the ark, right? All these people that we see in Hebrews 11 or throughout the Bible, they put their faith in God, and it actually impacted how they lived, and it was counted them as righteousness. Okay, that's like Jesus in the cross, right? Jesus goes to the cross because he trusted God, because he believed God. So righteousness stems from knowing and trusting God, okay? God wants to know you, and God wants you to know him as well. And actually, when we know God and when we're known by God, this will actually transform how we live. This will transform our lives. And this is actually the root of righteousness, is knowing God and trusting him. This is the connection between faith and righteousness. It's actually the root, and we find it in Jesus perfectly. All right, let's pray. God, we trust that you are who you say you are. Would you help us to trust you in our doubt or our unbelief? Would you help us to trust you and to place our faith in you above all the other things that we might place our faith in? Trusting that you are the greatest. And would we really believe and trust? And would it shape our lives? Would it even shape how we live tomorrow as we interact with friends or family or strangers or our teachers, whoever we come and encounter tomorrow? Would our trust and faith in you impact and change how we interact with these people, that we might be obedient to your will and your desires for us? God, we trust that you know what is best for us. And so would we lean in and listen and follow you, even into the scary, uncharted, unknown territory. God, we thank you that you are with us, and that you don't just give us a bunch of rules to follow, but you actually call us to know you and to relationship with you, and you lead us in righteousness and obedience and trust. So we thank you and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.